When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. All right, Devin, this is a pre-camping podcast, so we'll be camping next week. I'm going to bring along some stuff for us to record while we're camping, and we'll see if that actually happens or not, but that would be fun in situ, but we'll see. All right, what do you got for us, Dev?
The fire is the main comfort of a camp, whether it's summer or winter.
That is true.
Simple.
That is true. Yeah, it's
no other meaning.
Just fire is the focus.
Yeah.
It really is. It's funny that like the whole idea of living outdoors for any amount of time, you just assume that there'll be a fire, like I said, summer or winter. Mm. It's just always like, it's such a integral part of camping and like living outdoors, and you know, it just has to be there. It's part of
it. Yeah, when my wife started dating, or she started coming camping with us, she was surprised that we didn't cook on the fire. Which that's something we really didn't do other than for like desserts, or maybe, you know, you do s'mores or
occasionally but we'll do like
there'll be something, but like definitely as kids we never, that wasn't a part of camping.
No, yeah, well, we camped over like propane stoves.
All right, we had propane stoves, so we just cooked normal ish meals that we liked. But also she also stayed in an RV a lot, so I was like, oh, you guys are finding ways to make it more like camping because you were staying in an air-conditioned home. So you had to be like, okay, let's cook our hot dogs outside. Like, you know, we were already out there.
Yeah, it's the idea of a fire is, I don't know what it is. There's just something super primal about it. And everyone says the same thing, that it's just like there's, you know, something in fire that is related to human life. I live in Reisterstown on Main Street, and I still have a fire pit. That was like the first thing I did, was like built up a little fire pit and made sure I had something to have a fire in the backyard, just because I really enjoy being outside by a fire. There's I don't know what it's like. I said, it's just primal. And you know, being somewhere where you're camping, you know, you kind of wake up in the morning, usually like if there's no like real plans for the day, you'll either make a small fire and hang out by it, or just like hang out by the fire pit, you know, like just like sit in chairs around the fire pit, even if it's not lit. It's like there's expectation there. Like this is the home. It's the heart of the heart of the fire, heart of the home, heart of the camp. Yeah.
So we're going, just me and Maeve.
Yeah.
Because Caitlin can't go and Grant can't go.
Right.
But then the rest of the bros and our parents and some other family friends will be going.
Yep, yep. And so it'll be myself and Corinne going, the shop elf, but Nicole will be home. She'll actually come on Sunday to help us like set up and stuff and hang out for the day. But then she'll come home, so she'll be taking care of the dogs and working next week. Yeah, I don't know what that like. I know, you know, in the past there have definitely been plenty of times where we've all been able to go, or at least Nicole's been able to come with us for the week and whatnot. But this year with her new job, she's you know, can't really take that much time off yet. So I already have a couple other things happening this summer where she's taking a couple days off here and there. But just couldn't do a whole week camping.
Yeah, so year. Yeah, Maeve is super excited. She now remembers, you know, camping from last year. Yeah. And you know, the year before, and the year before, actually. So she's been going pretty much since she was one.
Right.
But she remembers basically, you know, last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, she's excited. I did make the mistake of like showing her the swimming locations and like piping that up. And then through the family text, it's like, oh, right now we can't go swimming because whatever algae or whatever seems to happen a lot in Pennsylvania. I was like, gosh, I shouldn't have said anything. I feel like with little kids, you should just surprise them with a vacation on that day.
Yeah.
There's no, like, every day. It's like, when are we going today? Are we going tomorrow? You know, no, in like a week. You know, it's in a few days and next week. And
so. I know, but we get so excited about it. It's hard to, like, not get them excited. Be like, we're going to go camping. Aren't you so excited? Like, this is great. That's what Drew said that Finley's been asking, like, every day. Are we camping today? When are we camping? When are we camping?
Yeah,
it'll be fun. Yeah, I was just talking to Nicole this morning about got to get the e-bike charged up and ready to go.
You get your
that'll be fun. E-bike this year. And Nicole's like, yeah, it'll be Corinne will just be like cruising around all by herself, listening to like music or a podcast or something for hours. Oh, yeah, that's okay.
whatever.
Just chill out.
Still a lot of time to do camping stuff when you're camping.
Yeah.
I remember when we were kids, though, we'd also... Like, you'd spend a lot of time bike riding, but we also had, like, you know, I remember CD players and like, books and things and just things that you just chilled.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of time just to relax, which is so nice. Like, that's one of the best parts. Yeah, it's just
right.
Like,
the thing is, there isn't a million planned things, which a buddy of ours, when he came last year, that's what he really liked.
Yeah.
Because so many vacations go, it's like, all right, we got to do this, and we got to go here, and we got to do there. Hopefully, the most you're doing camping is let's all go down to the lake. Right. Let's all walk. Hey, we're heading down to do this. And then what do you want for dinner or lunch? And that's it.
Right. Like, yeah.
That's what it should
be. It's so easy. Yeah, exactly. That's what it should be. You know, just hanging out and just like the rest of the time, it's just hanging around, just talking, playing games, you know, relaxing. Going swimming if you have a beach accessible. Sit in the kiddie pool if you don't. But yeah, no, I'm really excited. It's one of those things that I'm always excited about. And you know, we've been doing it forever. You know, our entire lives been camping nearly every single year, and it's just a part of that summer life. You know, you expect to go camping for a week or two, or, you know, like do, like we always end up doing, you know, a weekend here or there with friends, and then we go with family, and then we'll do like a backpacking trip. And it's just, you know, spending that time outdoors is super important, I think, to, I don't know, the wheel of the year. You know, it's like something that has to happen in the summer. You know, you need that time away from your house, like setting up your tent, hanging outdoors, like, you know, and having a fire and sleeping, and just so nice. So nice.
Yeah.
Well, I have some, I want to, like, we can think about some camping stories, but before we get further into camping, I wanted to tell you my little story of my truck brakes today. So this past week, you know, our car is out of commission currently because of the whole, you know, wheel frame thing bending in, like I told you last week. So we're still waiting for the part to come in, our buddy to get it so he can fix it for me and all. But so Nicole's been using the truck, and yesterday she came home and we were chatting for a little bit, and then she was like, when was the last time you changed your truck brakes? And I was like, I don't know, you know, a couple years or something. I usually do the pads and stuff on my own. She was like, it sounded a little bit grindy and kind of like a weird, you know, a sound I could hear, like as the wheel's spinning, like a zhing, 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 zhing. Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, okay. So I had to run a few errands after she got home last night. So I ran down to Home Depot and I could hear it. Came back and then we went up to Westminster to donate blood. And so we like went up then and it didn't sound great. And then this morning so this afternoon and evening, Corinne has her commencement for pre-college, which she's been at for 2 weeks. So we're doing like a pre-commencement thing and then dinner and then her final exhibition and show. So we'll be there this evening. So I had to, since we were down to one car, I drove Nicole to work this morning. So I drove her downtown, ran some errands and came home, and on the way home I picked up brake pads because it was sounding pretty bad. Like, you know, I was like, okay, that's definitely a brake pad job. So I stopped at one place, didn't have them, went somewhere else, got them, came home. And so I'm getting ready, you know, I'm kind of pulled up a YouTube video again just to remind me, like, specifically, like, I understand how to do it, but each vehicle, make and model, mm-hmm. is a little bit different, you know, how the caliper and stuff comes off. So I did that. Got my first, the right front wheel, got that one off, and changed the brake pads. It's no big deal. I was like, okay, cool. So I got that one done, went to the front left one, and driver's side, and I'm getting, like, you know, getting all the lug nuts off, and I was able to get 4 of the 5 broke, but, like, they were all really tight, and the last one, it just was like not going, and I'm like using a cheater bar and I'm like stepping on it and stuff, and it's just rounding the lug nut.
Oh boy.
And so I'm like going further and further in, and it just keeps rounding, and I can see that there's still more, like, you know, non-rounded piece of lug nut inside, but I don't have any deep sockets. I just have regular sockets, you know, like whatever, they're like 1.25 inches long or something. So I was like, crap, you know, and I'm thinking I'm going to have like, you know, tow truck come and take them. And I'm like, well, I can, you know, I'll tighten all the lug nuts back up. And I was like, okay, I'll go up to the local, like, used tire place. Right. So I hop in the truck, I got everything tightened back up, and I go to, like, you know, I turn on the truck, and then, like, I'm pressing in the brakes, and it's just, like, nothing, no resistance. I was like, oh, no. So I'm, like, pushing on it, and I hop out, open the hood, and I look around, I don't see any leaks or whatever, and I just topped off the brake fluid, because I was like, okay, well, it looked a little bit, you know, it was a little bit below the, like, add line, you know, so, okay, top that off. And I'm looking around, I'm like, and then it dawned on me, like, oh, you dummy, you just changed the front right one. So when you change with brake pads, you have to compress the brake caliper all the way,
right.
You know, because they're like really tight. And so I was like, so I had squeezed it and I had compressed them all the way. And so those few pumps on the brake I was like pushing on was just pressing them back open.
Right.
So I got back in the truck, closed everything, and I like stepped on it 3 or 4 more times. And sure enough, like it came back, the pressure came back. I was like, okay, crisis number one averted. Mm-hmm. Like my brakes aren't completely gone. So I drive up to the local used place, and the guy, he's a Hispanic guy, and he speaks like barely in English, you know, but young guy. And I was like, hey, I just live around the corner. I'm working on fixing my brake pads, but I can't get one of these bolts off. And he's like, brakes? And I was like, yeah, just one of the lug nuts. And he's like, no, I don't do brakes. I'm like, no, I don't need you to do the brakes. I'm wondering if you can help me get off one lug nut. I just can't get it off. And it seems like it's rounded. And he's like, okay, yeah. So he goes in and grabs like a couple sockets and gets the air compressor. You know, he's got the pneumatic gun,
mm-hmm.
brings it over and like loosens one of them. That's not the right one. He tightens it back up, and he looks down and he like goes to put the next socket on. And he's like, oh, and he looks at it, he's like, oh yeah. He's like, ooh. And so he like gets up and goes back into the shop, grabs a couple other sockets, and then grabs his, goes over, he was like working on his truck, so he went to his truck, grabbed a hammer, came back and put one of the sockets on, like a deep set socket, and then hit it like 5 or 6 times with the hammer. And mm-hmm. I could just see the hammer going deep, or the socket going deeper and deeper and deeper in. And that's kind of like what I needed. I knew I could, like, if I could get a socket in deep enough, it would be on the part that wasn't rounded. Right. You know, it was like a good, I don't know, 3/16, like not a full quarter of an inch, but it mm-hmm. had enough there. He bangs it a bunch of times, keeps going and going and stops. And then he puts his pneumatic thing on. He's like, you know, going slow, and it's like not going, and then it's like and it spins, and it's like, it's off, it's like lopsided because I've been banging on it and stuff, but it came off. I was like standing next to him with my arms in the air like, yes, thank you so much. And so I was like, can I buy a lug nut off of you or something? Like, he's like, no, I don't have, you know, I don't know if he really understood what I was saying. He was like, and he like looked at it, and he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4. He kind of pointed at him. He's like, you're good. And I was like, you have one I can buy? He's like, no. You know, I think what he was asking, I think he thought I was saying, like, can I pay for it or whatever? And he's like, no, don't worry. So we just did it. He got it off there for me for free. So
nice.
Came back to the house and unlocked, you know, took them all off, pulled it off, pulled the brakes out. And that front left was definitely the one that was, like, grinding. I could hear it. And it was completely gone and, you know, into the, like, you know, supports underneath. So, like, so yeah. Got everything back on, took it for a quick spin. There's still like some sounds that I'm hearing, but I think that's just it like settling back into like, you know, the disc, the calipers probably, or the whatever, the actual brake disc.
Yeah, I had that with this problem. I had that when they did the new brakes on mine. Mm-hmm. Mine actually took like 100 miles to get sounding right. But also that's because we only replaced that one side.
Right, yeah.
Because the other side, because it was brand new. It was brand new, but something had just failed where it clamped shut again. So we weren't going to replace all the new stuff on the other side.
Yeah, there's like a sound like a, you know, it's like a, like there's the normal screeching sound, like the you hear when you know your brakes are kind of gone, especially when you're hitting the brakes. But there was also just as driving, there was like a sound, you know, it's like, it's that brake pad spinning around and rubbing it's on just, old grind stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just grinding.
Yeah,
grind
itself flat.
It'll
again.
Level it out.
But oh, I was so happy. I was like standing next to him and I'm watching him because I was thinking like, if he can't get off, he's gonna be like, nah, I can't help you, and I'm gonna have to like take it somewhere else, and they'll have to weld on something onto the lug nut that they can then, you know, like. Yeah. And I tried heating it somewhat, but I had like a you know, a whatever Chinesium like hubcap thing over top of it, you know. And it's like that the plastic and paint on that thing was like burning as I was trying to heat the nut up and stuff. I'm like,
ugh. Right. It's such a.
But
it is amazing how tight some of those will get on there and rust on there and close up on there.
Mm-hmm.
I had one on my Ford. They wouldn't take off. Walmart wouldn't take off.
Dang.
But I was just getting. They were just, you know, they're the basic, like tire replacement, oil change place.
Well, they like couldn't undo them?
No, they couldn't do one. There was one that was really on there. They're like, this won't come off. And we don't want to continue doing it because then we could break it. Yada, yada, yada. So that's I took it to Steve. And he also said it was really on there. And he almost had to do something special, but he got it off.
Yeah, I was just like, come on. You know, and I had like I said, I've done the brakes recently in the last, whatever, 3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever. I'm not exactly sure, but the brake pads. You know, so it's not, I knew it's like not like it had been sitting on there for years and years, just rusting away, right? So it's like, and the other ones were tight, but I was able to break them loose. So I was like, come on. But yeah, I'm just like watching him do it and have it on. He just starts going like, and then it starts to release and spin. I was like, yes, crisis number two averted.
You got to swing by one day and give him like, six pack of beer.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't have any cash or anything.
I know.
Like, damn, I wish I had like $10 just to give him, you know, be like. But yeah, no, it was actually the second time that they helped me. I mean, the first time I was, there was just a hole. There was like a screw in my tire, but.
Did you pay then?
Yeah. But like, they were really quick and just really good.
I was going to say, like, oh, here he comes. Old freeloader, gringo. he pretends he doesn't speak English. Maybe he'll go away. I don't know.
I don't understand what you're
still pointing like, oh, he keeps going. Fine. Yeah, hang on. You're like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll help you. Hang on.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was talking to our mechanic, the mechanic Jerry today, and got him the VIN number and the model. And he asked me, he's like, what type of Nissan Rogue do you have? And I was like, it's just a Rogue. He's like, is it a Sport? And I was like, I don't think it's a Sport. And I was like, it doesn't say Sport anywhere on it, but it has a Sport mode. Like, there's a Sport mode, an Eco mode, and a regular mode. He was like, so I'm like looking, and I'm like searching online using the VIN number to try to find information. And and I was really like struggling to find information. So I called him, and he's like, well, maybe if you like, he's like, maybe call a dealership or something and they might be able to find. So I did that. I actually called like a Nissan dealership and talked to their parts guy, and he like looked it up, and found I gave him the VIN number, and so he found out my vehicle, and he was like, yeah, it's not a Sport, it's just an S, and you know, it was a Korean made. He's like, it's funny because like that those years there are three different types. There's like Korean made and Japanese something. They're like Vietnam made or whatever. They're three different Nissans, and
yeah,
mine apparently is a Korean made. So figured that out, and then reached back out to Jerry. So he's the guy he's getting it from has one, and he pulled out of another Nissan or something. So he's selling it for like $150 as opposed to like $2,700 or $3,000 from, you know, new from the dealership. It's crazy. Yikes. So yeah, Jerry's like, this is ridiculous how much they try to charge for those. He's like, you know, even like I can get them from people who, you know, use them or have nearly new ones or even resell them, you know, for way, way cheaper. It's crazy. So but yeah, so I'll be taking the Rogue over to his place tomorrow and dropping it off tomorrow morning, and then camping on Sunday. So, but I was like, I was definitely stressing about this like whole brake situation. I was like, crap, I need this truck, man. It's my only vehicle right now.
Yeah.
Got to go camping, and mom and dad are letting us borrow their Toyota Corolla, or letting Nicole borrow it. So she'll come out on Sunday. Going out for the day in the evening, and then their mom and dad are going to bring the Corolla, so then she'll just take that home, and I'll have the truck.
The camping, golf cart. So.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, nice. Yeah, man. So, yeah, how's your new truck treating you still?
No issues.
Nice. You're like, I'm expecting that for at least 4 or 5 more years.
Right.
No issues.
Yeah, 35,000, I'm hoping nothing for a long, long time.
Oh, is that what you have on it, 35,000?
Yeah.
Nice, that's awesome. So yeah, when we got the Rogue, it had 25,000, and we're up to 160 now. So it hasn't really had any issues. I mean, like a few little things here and there, but we really haven't had to do anything to it. It's been great, except for like the subframe completely rusting out, which is crazy. Less than 9-year-old vehicle.
I'm really going to try, I mean, with this one, you know, keep up with it.
Yeah.
And also after snows and stuff, maybe take it to some type of car wash with an under body sprayer, because that salt just tears it up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
When it just sits on there. No, it's been great. I'm excited to take it camping.
Yeah, man, right on.
Not that it's going to do anything more than carry some bikes and chairs and stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah. That would be cool, though. You know, I'm excited. I remember, so Callan's Gap, that's... I was just thinking, like, last time we went camping that we were at, I forget where we were, somewhere, what was it, Gifford Pinchot or something.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bunch of, like, good antique malls and stores and stuff around, so that's one of those things I always look for when we're camping. That's another thing that I've started doing more recently. It's like, wherever you go camping, because usually we go somewhere that's, like, you know, it's more rural, and for some reason, like, rural Maryland or rural Pennsylvania and Virginia areas have, like, more antique malls and stores around.
Sure.
So I'm always, like... excited to go thrifting.
I mean, it's out there. It's what, north of Hagerstown, so it's way up there.
Yeah, it's like from my place, it's about 1 hour and 50 minutes or something. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna drive over Monday morning. Drive over to the in-laws, drop off Grant, and then luckily he's too little to know what he's missing out on.
You know? Yeah, right.
All right, but have fun.
Yeah, have fun with grandparents.
It'll be me and Maeve heading on up. Hopefully it's not raining too bad. I know it's supposed to rain that day, so that's always the worst for setup. But
oh, is it supposed to rain Monday?
But I guess if I'm staying in Drew's side, hopefully he's got a tarp up already, so I can I can run under that and just put the tent up.
Yeah, that'll be solid. We'll have it all set up and ready to go when you get there. Because I think Drew's coming up on Sunday, and I'm going up on Sunday.
And I was having a little like, you know, I want to bring stuff because last year we had stuff, but also we couldn't swim last year either,
right?
Which is annoying. So I was really thinking, I was like, all right, I got to bring other things, but then, you know, it doesn't. A few things for us, like obviously board games and cards and stuff.
Yeah.
Can jam, which I was thinking of, and then you're like, "Oh, I'll buy one." I was like, "All right, go ahead." But I was thinking,
I love can jam, so I was like, too. "That's actually a game I'd love to."
And that's that is the perfect camping, like, because it's not so good. Like I can bring cube too, but you need a little bit more room. And sometimes, you know, in the sights, we usually like to be in the wood loops, not like the big wide open loops,
right?
Even though I wouldn't mind not the huge open ones, but
right.
something with an open area, because then we all could be, there wouldn't be as much roads, you know, if it was just a mm-hmm. field between us, you know, and then right. we all could. But anyway.
Yeah. But that's a nice thing too about Can Jam. It's like you can set that up in a road and play, and if a car comes, you just move it out of the way. You know, it's like
yeah, super light, or it's just on the side or in someone's driveway, you know, and yeah, it's so small right. and it's not, you're not throwing the frisbee hard.
Right.
You're kind of yeah. floating it.
Yeah.
Great game. Great game.
Ah, so much fun. I love it. Yeah, my cousin-in-law, Dan, he brought it to Lake George, New York 1 year, which is where we go every summer for a mm-hmm. long weekend. And I was like, this game's awesome. You know, it was like probably, you know, so like 10 years ago when it first came out. It was great, man. I love it. So much fun. So we always have Can Jam. We have like, you know, cornhole and stuff. And yeah, it was good.
I'll bring my, before I forget, I'll get it out. I'll bring my Navy game that I made up.
Oh, okay.
Which Guy and I went to the self-serve bar, the Aviator bar again, and played that, and we had fun. Nice. We usually will, like, play rounds for, all right, you get the next one.
Is it Aviator bar?
It's called Aviator.
Where is that?
It's up near in you? Stewartstown. It's just the little town north, just 10 minutes north of where I am.
Oh, nice.
Right over the line.
Yeah.
And it's, since for so long that was kind of a dry county because there was a lot of Amish and stuff.
Right.
They just don't have many, there's no bars around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right, right.
There's like the restaurants, and even some of them, remember, like you couldn't get, like a lot of them didn't have beer licenses for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the first, but I think you kind of have to make them brew hubs. Like, I think it's hard just to do a normal bar, which is fine. Like,
yeah, right.
Especially now at my age, like things closing at 10 is like yeah. perfect. I don't, what do I need to be out until 2?
Right,
exactly. Some bar, like go home, old man. Like, what are you doing? So, like, it's enough to have a couple beers, then go yeah. home or play. You know, where it's like the most innocent fun. It's just me and one friend playing like a board game and having beer,
like the beers. And is it like the taps or whatever? You have like a mm-hmm. card. Oh, mm-hmm. nice. Yeah, like what's that? Baltimore BC Brewery has that as well.
Yeah. So that, nice. That actually, I love it because it's all their beer and it's good stuff. So kind of whatever you want.
Thank you.
And you pour as much as you want, and it's decently priced.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy, and it also has on each table's a QR code, and if you want food, you just scan that code and order it right on your phone.
Nice.
So you don't really have to talk to anyone. Like, me and Guy were playing. He have a couple beers, and then we scanned. I was like, all right, I'll get fries. He got a pretzel. Mm-hmm. And we just, like, split it all. And it was, like, super easy. They just come out, oh, here you go. Because they already know your table because you mm-hmm. scanned it. You scanned that specific code.
Yeah.
It's, like, super easy.
Do they have a regular bar as well with, like, bartender?
No.
Really? Not at all?
Nope.
Dang. Yeah, because at BC Brewery, they have, like, a bar with a couple bartenders. I mean, it's big, you know, and it's like they have like live music and there's a whole like a bunch of, well, I guess it's food truck and stuff, but then they have the self-serve area. But yeah, man, that's great. Like, what a good way to set up a business. Like, all the taps are self-serve, all the food is like self-ordered,
basically they just bring it to you.
No bartender, no wait staff. It's just the cook staff and like bus people who bring stuff out.
Yeah, there's someone who like gets your, you know, gives you the card when you walk in. Like, like, hey, here, like, slide your card. Okay, here's your beer card.
Cashier.
And then you pay your tab at the end.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's great. It's like their overhead is so low, you know, not paying someone, you know, multiple people to be working all that stuff.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Nice. How busy is it?
Pretty busy.
Nice.
So usually at least half full.
Right on.
Like, half the tables are taken. Then, at, you know, closer to dinner time, there's a lot of people. It's good mixed company, like families and people. There's like a little corner area for kids. There's like, there was a stand of board games. Mm-hmm. This is why I brought mine over in the first place.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Actually, the second time we went in, Guy and I were talking, like, man, we should bring like Risk and like really play a long game here.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what we were thinking. I asked him, I'm like, yeah, man, go ahead. I was like, cool. All right. So then that's when we started bringing in just a little sailing game, but that's what made me think I need a simple like strategy game that mm-hmm. you can just put on any tabletop,
right.
And that becomes your, okay, this is the chunk of ocean we're in,
mm-hmm.
and then like you put the wind spinner down, and that shows you the direction where everybody's going, and that's also, that can be a obstacle that you have to go around. Like, you can't be sailing straight at it. You got to move around, and you can't shoot over it, you know?
Right.
It's interesting. It's a fun game. It definitely needs tweaking, because Guy and I will argue about the rules that aren't even made up yet. You see, you can't hit me. You can't hit me from that angle. I'm like, sure I can. Like, I'm within 4 inches. I can hit. He's like, you shouldn't be able to, like, have a full broadside attack on me from that angle.
So is it all, like, there's no board? How do you know how far to move? Is it all measurements?
Oh, yeah, we got measurements. So I got measurement sticks. It's either basically each boat can move. You do a speed check at the beginning of each round to move one or two, and I made it. Each boat is 2 inches long, mm-hmm. So you move either one boat length or two. You basically move 2 or 4 inches every time.
Yeah, nice.
But you can either use a stick or, you know, we kind of are doing like, you can do it by eye, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, one.
You know, two. You don't be too stingy about it.
Right. Yeah, you're not worried about, like, you know, 16ths of
an inch. Right. if we're getting close, then I have a little measurement stick, and it's the same thing. Like, you can hit them within two boat length. Right. That's where you can get a hit.
Nice.
And then you have a spinner, too. I also have that 3D printed spinner that
that's cool.
You hold, so you don't have to roll anything to bounce the ships, you know?
Yeah.
I'm working on it. It's fun. We can play it at camp, and it'll be fun.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds fun. I like sailing, so.
Yeah, right. And it's cool, because you can move separately, or you can move in a line, like how they would battle, like ship of a line. You know, they'd all line up move with each other and follow each other. So that's one, like, if the front guy moves one and then turns one, the rest can kind of tick behind it, like stay in their line, and then you can... Then you can split off if you want. And
how many player pieces does each? How many boats does each person have?
Five.
Oh, okay, nice.
Five boats, or you can use as little as you want.
Okay.
But so far, I made three sets of. I have a gray, a black, and a white set. All right. So there's each one has five ships, and they each have little. I just put Sharpie on the top of them, like a paint marker on top to show, just on top of the mass. I put a little black, so one has one has two dots, one has three dots. So you know, all right, my two boat is attacking your four boat, just to keep it organized. Because once they get all bunched up, you're starting to shoot at each other. You start to forget, you know. You're
like, this one is shooting at that one, and this
And that one's already dead. And we also made a rule that you should make names for each one.
Oh, sweet.
So that's fun. So you're like, the Endurance attacks. You know, guy had like, you know, an inappropriate name. So it was like mine. I did like these historical ones, like the Terror attacks Sloppy Tits for six. You know. Nice. I was like, oh, come on, make cool boat names. He's like, no, this is what they're called. I was like, all right.
Of course.
Fine.
Sloppy tits. You have to write them down, like, put little tags on little flags.
Yeah, yeah. So.
That's great.
It's fun.
Nice. That's awesome. How do you keep score for, like, are you have like little, like, just paper and like
notepads? We each have our own notepad. I couldn't figure out any, like, separate. I mean, maybe you could get a plastic thing with, like, you could tick off hits. Broadside is, I try to make everything simple.
Yeah.
So you can hit, it's just what your roll is. 1 to 6 is the broadside. Mm-hmm. It's just random. If you're within 4 inches, and if you're kind of on a line where it could look like a broadside.
Right.
And then I think we did start going, okay, if you're, like, aiming at their back, you can do, like, half that. Mm-hmm. So, like, 1 to 3, or their front, it's, like, 1 to 3, that type of stuff.
Right, yeah.
So if they've turned away from you to try to escape, you can still, and if your broadside is still facing them, you can still shoot at them, but... You know, you probably shouldn't be able to do as much damage as a broadside, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
But you might be able to hit them for a little bit on their way out.
Nice.
And so we all go ahead.
I was gonna say, do each of the little pieces, like, are they all different boats, and are they like little old sailboats, like square riggers, or what?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I wanted to, because I wanted to be like Napoleonic, like ship of the line stuff.
Yeah, right on.
So the models I have, and I'll send a picture, are kind of are that.
Right.
But they I would like to have, and you're actually, you've got more experience with like designing 3D things. So maybe we could come up with a better ship look. Like maybe some with multiple levels, you know.
Right, yeah.
Right now, let me send it to you real quick. This is what they look like. I just found a generic sturdy boat thing that I could readjust down to 2 inches each. So there they are.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And you can see the dots on the tops of that. That shows what they are.
Okay. Oh, yeah, dots, three dots. Oh, yeah, look at that. So, like, a little triple masted. Yeah, like, yeah. Old school.
Like, tall ship. Yeah, tall ship, Napoleonic era.
Yeah.
Kind of ships.
Nice.
Ship of the line.
That's great. Yeah, they have the little side windows. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it's like, for cannons.
Yeah. Three. Okay, nice. That's awesome. Right on. Sounds fun. Yeah. Nice. Oh, man. I want to play now. It sounds cool.
All right.
All right.
Maybe we can actually write down and finalize some rules, because they've all been kind of...
Yeah.
Like, generalized. Like, yeah. Oh, no, I don't think you can do that. You think I can do... Yeah, like... And also, if you dip below the wind... Mm-hmm. So, let's say the wind is facing north.
Yep.
And we're all going, obviously, east to west or whatever it is, towards each other.
Right.
You can't turn south without either slowing way down. I think right now we have it... If you drop below the wind, like of 180 degrees to where the line is pointing, the wind is pointing, you slow down to one movement.
Mm.
So you can never move two.
If you're going downwind, like with the wind in the same direction?
No, if you're going into the wind, against the wind. So if the wind's pointing north, you can't head south.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, you can get into tacking and stuff, but I'm just saying if you start heading, you know, away from it, you're
gonna
yeah. It will slow you down. And right now you have the chance to go one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could speed that up, maybe not, but.
So what's your, like, angle? Is it, like, 45 to the wind is, like, as close as you can go at normal speed, or does it just have to be, like,
we say you can go normal speed in anything, like, if you're saying north is where the wind's pointing.
Right.
That east to west line, anything mm-hmm. heading in that direction, if you start heading south of that line, you slow down to one no matter
what. Gotcha. Yeah, well, that makes sense as far as sailing goes. So, you know, it's like a reach angle, which is 90 degrees to the wind, mm-hmm. is going to be pretty fast. You know, you have, and then anything downwind is equally fast, or downwind, like, and you can usually it's about 45 degrees off of the wind. You can sail upwind, and that's pretty fast too. But like a reaching angle is going to be faster.
Right.
So makes sense that if you're like, turning upwind some to try to make gains into the direction of the wind is, you know, facing into your face.
But it's kind of keeping people from turning back down on people after they've made a pass, you know, because it's just not like that. It's not a car. It's not a tank where you can just turn everyone around and head straight back down at someone.
Right.
You kind of have to shift off or kind of, you know, it's, I'm trying to make it like it would be.
Right.
It's a lot of long lines. It used to be just some people shooting at each other, you know?
Yeah, right.
And then a few cut off and help, and one, maybe one will escape. And there was also another thing, like, if you were to play for any types of money or something, each boat could be worth a quarter or a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're seeing you're losing the battle, if you can escape to the edge of the table, you're all right. Like, you've ran.
Ah, okay.
But that only really works in the game if you're either doing multiple rounds or for money.
Right.
If you're not doing for money, then we're just like, all right, screw it, my last guy. Hopefully, maybe he can sink your three boats, you know?
Yeah, right.
But if you have money involved or something, then you can like, all right, I'm running. Like,
I'm trying to keep some of my money.
Like, oh man, those were terrible rolls. Two of my guys died quick. You know, you got two of my dollars right away, and I got $3 left on the board. So I'm going to turn all these guys and try to escape. And then I was trying to come up with some rule where if you're pursuing them, you go a little faster,
mm-hmm.
maybe just to make it. You know, it has to be penalized a little bit maybe to run. You know, it's stuff like that I have to, like, dial in.
Right, right.
Or maybe it is the luck of the roll. Like, maybe you can... Maybe once you say, let's retreat, I don't want to go back and forth going 2 inches. It could be like...
Yeah.
All right, you're if we're in retreat mode, we can both roll up to 6. And that's how many inches you can go.
Yeah.
So I'm chasing you and you're running. All right, we're on 6s now.
Yeah.
You roll a 3 and I just rolled 6. I'm on your ass, you know? And then it's like everybody's chasing each other.
Right, yeah. Because, like, yeah, I guess a retreat and a chase.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Pace would be as fast as you would be going in any situation.
Sure.
Right? Like both parties are trying to go as fast as possible.
Right. And then really, I guess back then, once someone ran, you could run them down. I guess it all depends on the ship.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And you had a long time. You know, you can run them down for weeks if you want.
Right.
But in this, if you get to the board, you escape. And
well, that might be kind of cool too. Like maybe you have set... parameters for the different boats, you know, like boat one is your fastest boat.
Yeah,
we
thought about that, doing a couple styles where you do like the big man of war one, and it can hit higher, and then you have a smaller one that can go faster. But I wanted to get the basic rules with everything being similar.
Right. Yep.
First done.
Yeah.
And then if we wanted to make it more complex, because I did want it to be a simple rule that you could just like bring to a, you know, bar or pub and be like, hey, you want to play? And just like, that's pretty simple. Like, just stay in this direction and roll high numbers. Like, and you can hit people. Like, just aim towards the other boat and like head that way, you know?
Yeah. No, I do like that, because then you could have like, you could say maybe have 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever, how many different types of boats, right? And they all have different, you know, specifications. So it's like, then if you want to make it more strategic, then you can have, before the game starts, you choose like, these are my 5 boats. I want to have, you know, 3 warships and 2, you know, scout ships that have guns, but they're fast, you know, so not as big. But they have, you know, so not as powerful, but faster.
Yeah, maybe have three different types, like a mid-range, a heavy, and a light.
Right, and then each person can choose how many of each they want, right? It's not like everyone has exactly the same. It's like you have to know your strategy. Like, okay, I want to have all 5 warships. Like, I'm going to go slow, but they're going to be super powerful. But
the only problem is, though, if you could line up 5 man-of-war fully blown, you know, 4-deck warship, like... You can't really beat those.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
You know, because eventually they'll just get in a line and either come at them or don't.
Right.
And if their firepower is so much more, you're never going to want to directly line up on them.
Yeah, I guess that's where it gets more complicated. Like, that's when you have to, like, there have to be more, like...
Maybe there's goals. Like, you have to go hunt down someone, you have to get to the fort and back.
Yeah.
With loot or something.
Right, exactly. Or there would have to be... more rules about how you can aim and how you can shoot at people and how close you have to be. And, maybe a faster ship has more firepower on its stern and, you know, bow, so it can shoot higher, you know, when it's aiming at somebody as opposed to the man of war that shoots higher when it's broadside, you know? So it's like, there would have to be, that would take some more, it'd have to be more like, sophisticated rules based off of making sure all the different boats are equal-ish, you know, so that way you could choose what you want, you know, based off of how you think you're going to roll or whatever. Yeah. But I do like the idea that it's like, it's, you know, you have these 5 boats and it's all kind of the luck of the draw, the luck of the roll, and a little bit of like how you're moving around. And I like this. I like the wind spinner. That's fun. That's a fun.
Addition. With that, if you want, I think we did it once where halfway through the game, you change the wind.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
You know, you just give it a random spin and then, okay, all right, it's all easterly or whatever, so everyone shifts. And right. But really, we only played like five times.
Okay.
Yeah. So you end up kind of heading towards each other, and either you end up kind of splitting off in two. Depending. Right. Sometimes you line up, but usually it's like a group of three and a group of two. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just come at each other, and and then you're kind of angling. It is kind of fun because you're like trying to go. And once someone falls, once a ship's down, you knock mm-hmm. it over in the direction that got hit. Yeah. And then you kind of have to move around that. So then it start to get difficult because then your line, you have to start splitting around it and figuring out a way to get around it. We did come up with, hey, if you're real close to a wreck, maybe you have to make a roll. Yeah, if you're within one like boat's length, maybe you do a damage roll. Like, did you hit it or not?
Yeah, right. Were you able to avoid it?
Yeah, like you hit 1 to 3, you missed it. If you roll a, you know, 4 or 6, 4 or 5, 6, you've hit some and you're damaged one. Because everyone, the way I have it is now, is everyone has 10 hit points.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Nice. So, two broadsides could sink your boat, but it's usually like four, you know.
Right.
But I didn't want something to get killed in one hit. And obviously, for simplicity, 10 is just everyone has 10 hit points. And
yeah. And so when you're moving, you said you either move one boat length or two boat lengths.
Yeah.
When you're turning, do you have to, like, can you move forward and turn?
Or is it like a... We also were deciding that, too. Okay. Whether you... Because you have to be able to shift kind of as you're sailing, but you are committed to a certain degree, obviously, in sailing.
Right.
You've got all the sails pointing a certain way. You're kind of committed in a direction.
Yeah.
We already did say you can't move, you can't turn more than like 90 degrees, I think we have it.
Okay, right.
So, yeah, if you
can go forward,
you can't just spin right around.
Yeah, right.
It's within, I think 90 degrees is what we said. It might have been 180, but I think 90 degrees is fair.
Right, yeah.
And we were deciding whether you let people move first and then attack, or
one and
the other. You know, maybe you move one angle and then move one more, but we're not sure. That's one that could be up for debate.
Okay. I think that'd be fun. I think it'll be, if Drew and I, like, if we give our experience as sailors, you know, to that how the movement would make sense, you know,
because
like a big square rigger like that moving downwind, they could probably pretty easily move across the wind, like jibe down, you know. That's not a pretty, like, anywhere in that 90 degree or that 180 degree, like from, you know, perpendicular to the wind,
right,
whole 180 degrees the opposite direction, that's not a super difficult maneuver, I would imagine, for those big square riggers, you know, because then like the sails are just moving around,
right?
But like then pointing up into the wind and obviously turning across the wind would be a lot more difficult, you know.
Yeah, I think right. We did. I think it was 90 degrees,
mm-hmm.
but as long you can do that, as long as you're not dipping, you know, below that,
yeah,
you know, back,
no, I like it.
Back against the wind, then you're kind of then you've slowed down and
that's sweet. Right on.
All cool. Right. A little that's Navy cool. talk.
That sounds fun. I like it. I like that you came up with like a fun like sailing game.
Yeah.
That's great.
I told you I was watching all those battle videos.
Yeah,
a while back.
Right.
All those, like, it would go through the whole battles of all these Napoleonic things. It was so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So any memories you want to hit before we head out?
Yeah, or I was going to say, like, if we're talking about games at camping, what's one of the games that you like? Like, what's your favorite game that you remember from us playing?
Any of those card games, like Spoons and...
Camp.
What's the other one?
Camps.
Camp.
Oh, man. Camps.
And Slaps. And
yeah. Yeah, I like... We played, and I think you asked about a catchphrase.
Yeah, catchphrase is good in the group.
That's super fun as a group. Yeah. And we've been playing like the last couple years, or I've been playing, Heads Up, where you have the phone up on your head and you're trying to get people to guess it. That's fun. I like Heads Up. I feel like as kids, we probably played a lot of like, you know, more board games, but I can't really remember doing that. I just remember, you know, like
a lot of, you know, it was like cards. Games, as long as cards, cause they're simple board games. You feel like you're going to lose something.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I might bring some stuff along, but.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'll bring, I have a couple, like, I like, what's it, Quirkle is fun, you know, we were playing Quirkle last year a little bit, and We'll bring some games. We actually just, Nicole and I just got, or she borrowed a game from the library at Micah that she works at. It's, I think it's called, it's like Bouquet or something, or I forget. It's Trellis. That's what it's called. It's basically like you're trying to line up these like tiles to connect different plants. And if you connect the plants together with these hexagon tiles, then you each, connected similar type of plant will bloom a flower, and you're like trying to get all your flowers out. That's kind of fun. It's pretty simple, so I might bring that one along. And that's good stuff.
Cool.
So camping memories. I was thinking I have a pretty vivid memory of hurting myself one time pretty good while camping. we were at Shirondo Lake State Park in the Shenandoah Forest down in Virginia, or West Virginia. I can't remember which one. We were on a hike around the loop of the lake, the lower lake. And, I was running along the trail and I tripped and fell and I hit my knee on the point of a rock.
Yeah.
And it like a big gash in my knee. It was like bleeding all over the place. And I remember it hurt pretty good, 'cause it was like right in the kneecap.
Yeah.
And I think Derek ended up yelling like really loud, like yelling, "Mom," and Mom like heard it from the campsite. And, but so I was like limping out. I think maybe it was like some bikes and some of us were just like running along playing like kids do. But I just remember like, I can see that in my mind. I can see that trail. I can see myself running and tripping and falling. And I can see that like blood gushing out of my knee. Oof. That was rough.
I can't remember any injuries for me other than a few like spills on bikes and skateboards or whatever we had. Funny enough, I don't know if we talked about when I was like, so last year, the year before, I'm like telling Mom and everyone, I'm like, "Where's your helmet?" Especially with Mom at the time, wasn't she like, someone was having like dizzy spells.
Yeah.
Right. Like, "All right, I'll see you." I'm like, "You're on an e-bike. It like quickly will go 20 miles per hour.
And you know, helmet.
What do you think's gonna happen when it, you know, you fall?"
Mm-hmm.
It's like, "Put your helmet on." Especially then, I got the kid. I got Maeve and stuff. And I'm telling her.
Yeah.
So I'm like, "Put your helmet on." She's like, "Ah, you know, I don't really." And I was like, "You hounded us.
I know, our entire lives. When we were
kids, about putting our helmets on." And she's like, "Really, that was because Eileen." I was like, "Oh, okay, here we go."
I know, right?
Spill the beans.
Yeah, don't give us that. I didn't really care about you.
I didn't really care with you. Like, what? I was like, "Either way, come on, put your helmet on. It's all right."
Yeah. That was great. Mom and Dad, I know, they're like, "Yeah, you know, I don't really care." I'm like, "Oh, come on." Like,
you're more unstable than you've ever been in your life.
I know, and you're going to go without... I even think, like, Mom, like, fell off the bike, like, crashed her e-bike once last year, too. Right. She's like, "Comes, I come back, I fell off."
Oh, like, yeah, well, right.
It's like, jeez. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't remember a lot of those. I don't know. I mean, I love Shirondo Lake's the best, and then...
Yeah. I always remember going down to, like, the lake... the pavilion, they had like a little nature center, and then they had the snack machines and stuff. So we would always go down and get like some, you know, donut sticks or something. And we would go fishing. And I remember either like putting little like lumps of bread on or donut sticks on the hook and just catching sunnies and stuff off the little pier there. Oh, so much fun. I also remember, I think I've told you this before, but I remember seeing what I like half believe was a Bigfoot at Shirondo Lake from a distance. It was either a Bigfoot or just a big person walking up into the woods. But I was like across the lake, actually at that spot, that little fishing spot where they would like put in canoes and stuff. And I like looked up and there was just like a big figure standing, kind of against the woods across the lake. So probably 300, you know, 200 or 300 yards away from me. And standing like near the edge of the woods. So like there, where Shirondo Lake is, there's a day picnic area. And so it's a tree area that probably goes 50 or 60 yards from the bank of the lake to this, like, it's flat and then it kind of goes uphill. And so it's flat in that area and there are trees and stuff, but it's all open because it's all mown and there's picnic tables and stuff. And then back through there, then the wood starts right when the hill goes up. And it goes up pretty steep, like 45 degrees or something, or 30 degrees hill that goes up. And then it's all bushy and tree. And so I just looked up and saw a figure over there. Didn't really think about it. And then I looked up again and I saw it and it just like turned and just like went straight up the hill through the brush, like not on a trail or anything, just like, and then I was like, oh, that's crazy. And, you know, it was far enough away that it couldn't tell really if it was a person. Like I just remember seeing a dark figure. Like, I don't remember seeing like a person in like, you know, red shorts and a blue shirt or something, you know. It was like all dark head to toe. And the person just like went straight up into the woods. I was like, what the heck was that? That was a really big figure that just turned and walked straight up the woods. So I don't know. I was like, that's like something I would do as like a person who likes to walk in, like in the woods. I might just turn and walk up into the woods.
If you're in the middle of nowhere, I'd say maybe, but
yeah, right. Now it's right,
a lake surrounded by people.
Yeah.
Right, being in woods.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know. So it's unexplainable. It's
unexplainable. There's no possible scenario that it could be.
No explanation.
Did you happen to be in a campsite, a public campsite with a lot of people?
People walking around in the woods.
Walking around.
But I don't remember.
You're like, that. Who knows? Who knows?
This is just a big dark person.
Could it be a tall person? Maybe. I don't know. Or could it be the Bigfoot?
It was just weird. I just remember it being weird. Like it was an awkward way for someone to walk, and it was just a really big person, you know, like someone really tall, like an adult. Like, and adults don't usually do that. You know, they usually walk on trails and stuff, and they don't take the like hard way. Like kids maybe, but
unless there's
like a big like person, you. Turn. Yeah, unless they're like me.
Maybe you saw yourself in the future. Maybe it's actually a time warp.
I normally do that. I definitely have walked just directly up into those woods before, because our campsites were usually up on that top loop. And then behind us was like the power lines, and then it was just the trails going up. There were a lot of like blueberries and a lot of like fun stuff. So I would usually just like turn around from those campsites and just walk straight into the woods and walk up the woods and stuff. But I am not the typical person. I am more like a Bigfoot. yeah, but no, that's fun. Like I really like Sharonda Lake. That was a good one. And I've gone a lot to Rocky Gap. That's a pretty good campground as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think Rocky Gap should be our like every other year one. If we're like, I don't think we should try new places all the time.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, all these places we go are not, you know, they're not new places. Like they're just.
Well, they are to a degree. We've all never gone to Callan's Gap. Maybe when we were kids. But
yeah, we've been to Callan's Gap before. Like it's been a long time.
25 years ago?
Yeah, right.
We were there. Quarter of a century ago.
Callan's Gap. Do you know what a Callan is?
No.
A Callan is the name that a Wiccan person, someone who, you know, studies Wicca, a witch, calls a non-Wiccan person. Ooh. So they call them a Cowan. And I think that's actually, like, they pull it from something else. And I looked it up recently. I can't remember what it is, but it's like people who, you know, it's like the Knights Templar or something. I forget what it is, but Freemasonry. That's what it was. So it's like in Freemasonry, a Cowan is a non-member, particularly someone who tries to intrude upon or learn about Masonic secrets. Yeah, so like it comes from a Scottish and Irish origin, meaning young warrior or noble. It can also refer to a truckload transportation company, Cowan Systems. but yeah, I know that. Wiccan, they use it as meaning like a non. You know, it's basically like it's someone who's a non-believer in the Wicca.
Cowan's going into the witch woods.
I know. Yeah, Cowan's Gap.
Don't get too far out.
All us non-believers go.
Don't hike too far in. Out.
In, out, in.
You stay by your lake. Is that why they poisoned it for all us?
Yeah, right, exactly. That drama. That's annoying. Yeah. So, yeah, last year we went to Gifford Pinchot, which is another Pennsylvania campground, national park, you know, in the parks, whatever, state parks. And depending on, the level of some bacteria or something, they closed the lakes down for swimming. And What did Eileen said yesterday it was open, or they opened it back up yesterday or something, or I don't know, or maybe it's closed.
Yeah, today. I mean, I was looking on their Facebook, and it's like every week it's closed. So I didn't see that it's open announcements.
Right.
So that's very worrying. And
yeah,
they'll be like, oh, rain either helps or doesn't. Like rain either washes whatever you have into it, or sometimes washes it out. So I don't know.
We don't know what to hope for. Yeah. Sucks. It's like, can't you just like let people do as they will? Just put up warnings, be like, it's a high level of this bacteria in the lake, you know, just so you know.
Right.
Like swimming is moderately not recommended.
Right.
Swim at your own risk. Like, come on.
I know. I don't remember any other places doing that. I guess I know it happens, but.
Right.
I guess it depends what kind of lake it is, what it's fed with. But like I said, the Virginia ones never had any issues.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It sucks, though, because, you know, when we're camping in the middle of the summer, you definitely want swimming.
Right.
And
kids want swimming. It's,
yeah,
I right, know exactly. We'll have fun either way, but we need to start planning for this.
Yeah, right.
If we go to these lakes that, like, you know, we know that half the summer they're probably closed. Maybe we should aim at one that's not half closed.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, let's not take the chance.
Right. I don't want to, like, just hope and pray and cross my fingers.
Right. Because it doesn't matter where we go. Like, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, they all, as long as it's got a lake.
Like I said, like, Rocky Gap's great.
Yeah, right.
Sharonda's great, even though they got the bear thing. But like I said, I'd rather deal with bear stuff than not going to the lake stuff.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and there's plenty of places around, you know. There's places in Maryland, you know. There's lots of places that we could go. So we'll see. But yeah, all right. Well, let's wrap this one up since we're at about an hour, and I mean, you got stuff to do and I got stuff to do. Go to Kryn's, prepare to go down to downtown to Kryn's celebration or graduation stuff, and you're going to work the Orioles. Let's go O's. Won two games back-to-back yesterday for that doubleheader. That was awesome.
Long day.
Yeah, I bet, man.
We're going to have a doubleheader, but it's like not traditional header. Back-to-back is like an hour in between.
Right, yeah.
This was like 3 hours in between. It was like,
Yeah. Did you have to go downtown 2 days ago when the game was canceled, or was it canceled?
Yeah, I had to go downtown. Okay. I was already there. And we were probably there for 30 minutes. Get out of here. Like,
do you get like automatic, like an hour or whatever when you go, something like that?
It's like 3 hours or something.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I mean, it's something. It's not great, right. But it's.
Yeah.
And, you know, we eat dinner real quick. We're like, all right, let's go into the press lounge before they close it.
Yeah, right.
Had a burger and some fries and then went home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough, man. I haven't sailed in a couple of weeks because I've been sailing on Tuesdays, and like last week was my anniversary, so I didn't sail last week, and the week before it was canceled, and this week it was canceled. So it's been like a month that I've been, you know, I think Memorial Weekend or whatever that was, or Labor Day Weekend, whichever one we just had, Memorial Day Weekend. That one was, I actually went and took the boat and went out and sailed over to get some crabs and stuff. So it was like the last time I've been sailing. It's been a long time. It's rough. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I have two recommendations this week. Mm. Two things, because I've been spending a lot of times indoors watching YouTube videos this week because I'm had no vehicle because Nicole's been taking the truck and I've been doing stuff around the house, but it's just been so hot outside. It's like I want to work in the shop and there's kind of some stuff I can do in the house, but not a ton. And so two things that I have been watching. One is Luke McFadden's YouTube channel. Do you know Luke McFadden? He's a crabber here in Baltimore.
Oh, I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah. So he's a young guy in his like late 20s, 28, 29, something like that. He became pretty popular on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
And then and it kind of wanted to move more into long form stuff, which is really crazy because a lot of people say that. A lot of people who do short form stuff are like, I really want to do YouTube or I want to do long form, but they don't. But he did. He was like, he started to see some opportunities. You know, he was getting pretty big on Instagram and TikTok. So he started making long form videos on YouTube, you know, like hour long videos, you know, more than 30 minutes, like all of them. And he's doing awesome. And they're so much fun. He's just like, He's crabbing right out of Bodkin River, Bodkin Point, which is just across the Patapsco River from where we sail. Mm-hmm. So there's like Rock Creek, and then just outside of Rock Creek, so just one little creek further away from the Key Bridge spot, is Bodkin Creek. And so he crabs out of there. So it's cool because he's out, like, he'll go crabbing, and he'll, like, it's always just like, you know, him doing cool stuff, and he's talking about it and catching things and like, you know, bringing people, different people. He's had all sorts of different, like, celebrity people come out on his boats because he's really can become pretty popular. But then he'll also do things like, you know, I bought a super tiny sunken boat, so let's go get it, you know, and he'll go somewhere and get it. Or like, I'm going to stay in, you know, in this tiny, like, duck blind overnight, you know? So he has, like, just super fun. And he's a character. He's so much fun. He's fun to watch. I've been, like, kind of following him for about a year or so, but I've watched a bunch of his videos. So check out Luke McFadden on YouTube and Instagram. He does some really cool stuff. Super nice guy. Seems like a really good guy. And if you're from Baltimore or Maryland at all, like, you'll recognize what he talks about, the area and stuff, and you'll see, you know, if you know the water at all, you'll see where he is when he's out there. Super nice. Cool. My other recommendation is Ed Pratt. Have you heard of Ed Pratt?
Nope.
So Ed Pratt is kind of like your geo wizard dude, where he, like, does these challenges around the UK.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
He's done kind of different stuff. I really know him because he did what he called Source to Sea. So he traveled the whole Thames River from its source in the heart of the UK, to London and out to the sea, out past through London and out to the sea. Is like 210 miles, and I think it's a 5 or 6 part series. But he just, like, started, you know, like, start at the source. There's, like, this little stone circle where it bubbles, the spring bubbles up out, and it's like the actual source of where the Thames starts. And the first 3 days, he's just, like, walking the whole time. His goal was to, like, stay in the river. So he's walking in the river, or, like, you know, he had a wetsuit on and like a waterproof backpack with his little bivy tent and his sleeping bag and some food. And for the first couple of days, he's just cruising along and walking in the river and going underneath. It's all these little teeny, you know, like 6 foot wide stream, you know, he's walking along, or might get to 10 feet wide, and it might occasionally be up to his waist or his chest. You know, he's like, oh, a little deeper, but it's all, like, overgrown and stuff. And then I think it took him like 19 days total, but the next, you know, the rest of the time he had a little kayak and kayaked all the way down the Thames and stopped along the way. And he was doing TikTok along the way and Instagram and, like, posting about it day one, day two, every day. And so then all these people started, like, reaching out to him and, like, hey, if you're in this area, stop by, I'll buy you a beer. And, like, all these people were like, here, come to my house, stay here overnight. You know, so his, like, original goal was to camp every night, and he had all the stuff to do it. But he ended up, like, you know, camping like 6 or 7 nights out of the 20 or whatever, 19 on the whole trip. You know, the other times he was, like, stopping at people's houses, or he stayed at a hotel one time, stayed on a boat a couple times, you know. Nice. Like, and all these people are, like, noticing, you know, recognize him as he's just, like, cruising along. They're like, hey, Ed, you know, like, you're the guy on TikTok who's, like, going down the Thames. He's like, yeah. He's like, it's just crazy. It was blowing his mind, like, how many people recognized him. You know, yeah. People who were, like, just somehow, because they live near the Thames, they follow, like a Thames tag or whatever, you know. And so he was tagging that, and so that was popping up on tons of people's feeds. And
yeah, that is really cool. One thing we need to do is feed all our old videos into, like, whatever AI chopping that we can find that works.
Because, mm-hmm.
I mean, we have so much stuff, all right, and we have to make it into quick, digestible things for everyone to see.
Right.
Some of those TikToks and Instagrams, you know, they get so much views on nothing, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
And, yeah, if that can feed, you know, like, millions of views on a YouTube video, that's what we need.
Yeah.
Push them back. There you go. So Luke McFadden and Ed Pratt, both kind of younger, just, all, like, cool people who doing normal stuff and just fun to watch along.
A really weird thing I started watching, I was watching the greatest, like, hits of the Osbournes, that old reality show.
Yeah,
but
right.
The funny thing was, that's, like, the original reality show for, like, a famous family.
Right.
Before that, there was not, you know, they had never done it. And it's actually really funny because it's not as like produced. They just had an MTV crew at their house like all day long. They sat from like 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. or something.
Jeez.
They had like a crew. So it's really funny, but on their channel, they're all grown up now. Obviously, Ozzy's really old, so is Sharon. But they do like now they do watchings of the Osbournes episodes, you know, like recaps, reacts. Nice. And it's really, really entertaining.
Is this so like a YouTube channel? Like,
yeah, it's just the Osbournes.
The Osbournes, nice.
So it's them all sitting around reacting to their old, like, you know, when they were like 15 and or the kids were 15 and Ozzy and Cher were, and it's, I mean, I forgot how funny that show was. Like, we all kind of watched it back then because it was on, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
But and it's no, like, there's no arc. There's no, it's just snippets of them being nuts, you know? But, like, they're all funny. You can tell they also still do kind of love each other. Like, it's
Sharon.
He's always, you know, he's the fumbling. And anyway, so it's really funny. And then the video I did with Scott is up, the just the unboxing on his he renamed it the Crafty Studio, so check that out. I'm gonna be shooting some stuff with him coming up, because man, you have to come over to us one day. He is just like when we went the last time. He's doing so much rehab on it, and he's putting all types of stuff in it and splitting it up into different like rentable spaces.
Right.
It's really interesting. And in the back, I didn't realize. I walked around. I was like. Because he has, like, a lot across from him.
Right.
I was like, yeah, you got, like, 20 spots there. But he was talking about having big events. Like, oh, I'll turn this main area into, like, a wedding venue.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where are you going to park everyone? He's like, yeah, I got, like, a huge, huge space in the back. And sure enough, the back is enough room for, like, 300 cars.
Dang.
Which I hadn't seen before. I was like, whoa, this is over here. So you got to come by. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
But we did that. I did that one video for him. And it's
Yeah,
it was nice. Good. You know, it's an unboxing video.
It was really good. Yeah, no, it was fun, and you did some good shots of like, you know, like the panning of what we were seeing and stuff. And it's funny because I could tell it was your camera work, but it felt a little different because of the way Scott was interacting with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was like, huh, okay, but I could see, you know, it's like. I could obviously because I was looking for it and like I knew it was you shooting, but I could see some stuff that was the same and some that seemed different, you know, because it was like the way his interactions were and stuff. I was like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, he definitely like wants to do. He's a bit like he like talky.
Right.
He wants to chat to me or whoever's behind the camera.
Right.
That we'll have to figure out whether how much I want to do that or not. But
Right.
You know,
he wants like the cameraman interaction.
Yeah, whether I'll do that or not, I don't know. But, you know, Scott's, he's good talent. He's goofy enough, you know, and he makes enough cool things, and he has a cool spot.
Yeah, right.
So I think it'll be fun to work there every once in a while and shoot with him. And
nice.
But, yeah, you got to come over and check the spot out. No, and I said, I got you to, or we'll see. But he's like, yeah, I want this and this. You know, I'm going to make this whole new shop in this section here.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about all the murals he's going to get. I'm like, well, get Dustin to do it. He's like, I was like, get Dustin to make a mural. And he's like, yeah, I'll pay Dustin to make a mural. I said, all right, there you go. You said it. It's a contract. Right.
That's cool. Yeah.
Because he's got these huge brick walls, you know, it's 3 stories high.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get some type of scissor lift or something, get up there, you could plan out some type of cool.
Yeah,
you know, mural or something for one of those spots.
Yeah. And get a projector, like projected onto
Heck
the wall.
Yeah, right, and then just big, you know, it's you know how to do big stuff. It's it's not hard, but it's not. What am I trying to say? It's not
complicated.
It's not that complicated. I mean, if you're doing faces and stuff, obviously, then that's where people start to slip.
Yeah,
but if you're doing big shapes and forms and stuff, it's It's not just because it's bigger doesn't make it more difficult other than physically getting up there and the amount of paint you have to use.
Right, exactly.
You can really graph it out nice to where it will end up looking nice.
Yeah, it's not any more difficult to paint a mural than it is to paint a painting, like, you know, on something small. It's just a different technique. You know, you just have to block out colors differently, and it's just more paint, you know, and more big, you know, depending on what you're doing. If you're doing shading, you know, it's big areas and stuff, but But that's why typically when you see murals, they're not like giant and shaded. They're blocked out because you're visually, your mind is making all that shading with just these shapes of color.
Right. You know,
but simplified.
You gotta
That's cool.
come over one day and
Yeah, right on. Will do. No, it's cool. I like that laser that he has too. That's
I think it's crazy.
We Create laser. That's pretty cool.
I need to reach out to those guys. Get one. That thing was amazing.
Yeah.
Because you can put down a bunch of things and it just does it.
Right. Yeah.
And you just it like automatically kind of detects them, and then you just like he
you
was
place
doing
it on there. Yeah,
like he was cool. Doing the video. He just took his graphic and resized it and laid it on there.
Right.
And then pushed go.
Copy and paste. I could just control C and control V right on the app.
I mean, it really was that easy. I was only there for like 3 hours, and he did all that stuff. He put his logo on something and
nice. Yeah.
And it does it all for you. That'd be sweet to try to get one of those for.
Heck yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because cool. That does everything. That will do like wood or slate or a metal, you know, tumbler.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to get something that will etch metal as well. I mean, I have the laser pecker, which etches metal, but I'd like to get like a stronger one.
Yeah.
And something that does, it's a little more versatile or something. So.
And that all, does the autofocusing. I know the laser pecker does too, but this.
Right.
Yeah, it feels simpler just to kind of lay everything down in there and let it work on it for a while.
That's really cool. Yeah, I like it. Nice. Yeah, I saw Chris Cash he got a laser too. I think he has a laser pecker as well.
His move. Yeah, I saw it's like a bigger one.
Yeah.
Maybe reach out to.
Yeah.
Because I think all Scott, not to share his business, but it's normal YouTube stuff. All he said was all we promised them was a video or two. You know.
Right. Yeah.
We can do the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Cool. Yeah, I like that. I like that it's a self-contained unit. You know, that's cool.
We'll do the exact same unboxing video. All the same shots.
All the same
really
shots.
Similar.
This is great.
You're like, I wanted to put our logo on a coaster.
It's let's like give a it circle a shot. With AOC inside of
the what the fuck?
That'd be great. Cool. All right. Well, let's wrap this up, guys. Thank you for hanging out with us and chatting. We're going to, I want to try to make this, recording a podcast live. We'll see what we do. Like maybe we should just make sure you bring the DJI mics and stuff. Cause we can just record directly to the mics and then I can put it out, afterward.
Yeah.
Or I can bring a laptop, and we can just hook it up and have it recording directly into it. We'll see. But I think I want to try to do it easy, right? So if we just have the mics and they just record and save that way, that should be easy. So.
Sure. That or I was thinking if we wanted to record a quick video for the channel, it could be like the three main things to know camping, like how to start a fire, how to do this, and what to find for that. Simple stuff that you do all the time. Maybe we could shoot that with a DJI.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Just something like that, a little handheld video. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so yeah, check out our channel over on YouTube, The Art of Craftsmanship. We will have the new building of the shop bench up eventually. Haven't had a chance really to... my goal at some point was to be able to get you all that footage and, bring over the GoPro and stuff, but... I haven't had a vehicle at all week. So I'm like, but we'll get that done. So you can check that out. And then you can follow what's happening in the shop and around the house this summer when I'm home on Instagram. You can follow me at The Art of Craftsmanship and you can follow Devin at The Art of Camera Guy. And yeah, I just got my Vice set up, which I was super excited about.
And you got to put those videos on YouTube.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Those little shorty things.
I always see him like he's putting so much stuff on. I mean, it's good, but you should put them out on both.
Well, that's the thing. I have to record it and.
What do you mean record it?
Because I can't just I put those videos together on Instagram because it's all of its own editing on Instagram. But on YouTube Shorts, it doesn't have the same. It could, but then I have to I don't know. But yeah, I could do it on YouTube too. But usually what I'll do is I'll build it on Instagram, and then I'll screen record the preview of it that I can watch. And then I will clip that screen record and crop out all the random little bits of stuff that are on my screen. And then I'll put that on YouTube.
I know Adobe does a mobile version, like a really simplified, like quick, and CapCut does that too. So you could,
right.
Just because why not spread it out? Especially when we don't have anything going to YouTube, it'd be nice to have whatever little crumbs you can give people.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Yeah, no, I think I'd like to get more stuff over there as much as possible. It's just, it's not as simple as I would like it to be. But, it's because YouTube and Instagram, Facebook /, Facebook, they're not the same people. So
yeah.
They're not that cross-posting. It's not as easy, but... Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much. If you want to support us further, you can go to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship, and you can support us over there for as little as $1 a month to be a patron of the channel. We appreciate all that, and the money goes back into making the channel better and making the podcast better and doing fun stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out. Devin, always a pleasure. I'll see you in a couple days when we're camping.
All right.
And everybody else, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.